The statistics are not yet quite clear, but mm-hmm. I know that the mm-hmm. children are living this problem. The children are breathing this problem, especially the girl child in school. And we took the liberty to do some training. We thought, you know, if we're going to talk about ending gender-based violence, how about we teach these kids about gender-based violence at a tender age? Mm-hmm. So we thought the best approach would be to start to go through the teachers, because these are the people that teach these children the morals. What they mm-hmm. pick from school is what they take to the community. Mm-hmm. And so we trained 46 teachers from 6 secondary schools on gender-based, school-related gender-based violence prevention and response. And then to follow that up, we decided to set up, form gender-based violence clubs in these particular schools. And we had the clubs are headed by leadership of 5 students, mm-hmm. and so we also did workshops with parents in these particular schools, because it's not enough to talk to the teacher and the parent. This child goes home to the community, and it's a different story back in the family. Mm-hmm. So we decided to involve the parents and the PTAs in these particular schools. So we thought, you know, it's not a one-day event, it's a process, and the earlier we started, if we blend this in our education system, make the boy child look at the sister mm-hmm. as someone equal to them, not mm-hmm. just, you know, oh, I am the superior, right. and, you know, there's some things girls are supposed to do. We thought, you know what, let's change the mindset. Let's start with schools. How about we blend it in the education system? Because what you're taught when you're a child sticks in your mind, mm. and that's what you grow up thinking, that's how the world should look like. Great. So that's the angle we're looking at it from.
All right. And Nadia, we had tomorrow, there will be an event that's taking place. Tell us about that.
Actually, tomorrow, as Crown the Woman, we're trying to fit in to commemorate the 16 days of activism. Mm-hmm. And we are actually starting with a march. It will be a walk from the State Ministry of Gender and Child Social Welfare. That is the Jobek State Ministry, mm-hmm. Dr. Chan. So that's where we'll start our walk, and then all the way to Hainim, where mm-hmm. we're going to have panel discussions. And we're going to have panelists. We're going to discuss a lot of things. We're going to have dramas. Mm-hmm. We're going to have the true story. I remember the last time we came, we talked about a story which we acted, and it was a true story. Mm-hmm. So we hope the owner of the story is also going to be there. So I think it's going to be enjoyable.
Great. That so who will be attending this tomorrow? Is everyone invited?
Yes, everyone is invited, mm-hmm. but it's mostly we're dealing with the teachers we train, the club leaders, and then PTA members, and then civil society members who would love to be part of the conversation, because we thought it would be good to have them in one room mm-hmm. and have them share ideas. And then we'll also have some people from the ministries to maybe answer some of these questions. We thought it would be good to have panelists who are also part of policy makers, and then they'll be able to answer some of the questions these teachers have, these students have, as far as gender-based violence or gender sensitivity and the policies we have in place go.
Yes, okay. And what's the theme particularly of this event?
The theme of the event is to end gender-based violence in education system for inclusive peace and development in South Sudan.
All right. Any of you can pick this up. Recent global studies have shown that sexual harassment and violence are major factors in school dropout rates for adolescent girls. How is the situation like, let's say, in Juba?
In Juba, it's not good. It's not looking good. Apart from the I think the root cause comes down to ignorance with these kids. These kids are not enlightened about some of these things, and so they go out of curiosity, and then they want to learn some things, and they don't have the proper knowledge or the guidance to help them avoid certain circumstances, and so they become victims of these sexual or gender or sexual violence against the girls. And so the biggest issue we have now from the schools we deal in is not even forced marriage. It's early teenage pregnancy. You know, these kids are getting pregnant, mm-hmm. and there's people out there taking advantage of their ignorance. So this is really, really, really bad for the case of South Sudan.
Yes, and your theme, let's go back to your theme, which is stop gender-based violence in education for exclusive peace.
Inclusive
peace. What's the relationship between gender-based violence and peace?
When you look at the education, when you look at peace, I think education plays a big role in how I conduct, in how I react, mm-hmm. you know. An educated mind has the opportunity to analyze a situation before they react. Mm-hmm. But then to me, to my understanding, I believe that our conflict today is mostly fueled out of ignorance. You know, we have people, mm-hmm. it starts in an institutional manner and then it ends in a tribal line. Mm-hmm. So when I look at it, I think if I was educated, I would react differently to the crisis that is happening in South Sudan. I wouldn't be manipulated easily by a leader to just have them on my side.
Mm-hmm.
So I think for the sake of South Sudan, education really needs to play a big role if we are to forge harmony and live as one people, if we are to live institutionally and not on tribal line, to be specific.
All right, Nadia, as we, you know, try to, of course, campaign against this gender-based violence, what can the role of the citizens be, the ordinary citizens, the students, the teachers, what role can they play in order to stop this gender-based violence?
I think the major role that parents, teachers can play is bringing up these children in a godly manner. They should be able to sit with these children and talk to them, enlighten them, let them know whatever is going around them, whatever is happening around their environment. Because when these children get to know about gender-based violence, and then they will know how to come about it when it happens. So I think generally that's what we're focusing on right now.
Some specific examples, experiences that you've seen you'd like to share with us? From these schools?
From these schools, as for now, as Alwell said, we had trainings with the teachers, and we also went on to form clubs in the schools. But we're not getting very good results because of lately one of our schools, girls have been, we've had news of girls being forced into marriage, like parents refusing to pay school fees, so they're sending the girls to their husband's home. And I think that is not good, because all we're trying to do here is try to fight against this, so that we get our girls to study and they become educated to become better future leaders of South Sudan. So I think that is one of the bad news that we have.
Right. And as we wrap up this interview, is there anything else that you would like to know about this particular campaign?
Well, tomorrow you're welcome. The campaign ends on Sunday, and we're trying to wrap it up and see how can we put our minds together and forge better solutions for a better year next year. So Mirai FM, you're welcome to come and join
we'll
us, and I hope you will learn more, and I hope
we'll
it will be
there.
An insightful discussion for you guys there. The march starts at 9 and then to 10. So we start from Toto Chan to Women Union at Hai Nim. So that's where the panel discussion will be held. So the panel discussion will be from 11 to 1 p.m. tomorrow.
All right. And Nadia, you had something to add?
Yes, and we wouldn't have made it without our partners. We want to thank Norwegian People's Aid, and we want to thank Success IDI. Yeah, those are our partners.
Thank you. Thank you. And ladies, before you go, we've been discussing about something that is in our society that is, you know, a little sensitive, in other words, especially for ladies. But I'm going to bring it up anyway. So we've been discussing about skin bleaching, you know, and people who like to change their skin tone, you know, to a little lighter. So what are your thoughts when it comes to skin bleaching? Just very fast.
It's that's a very tricky subject. Me personally, I think it's a very uncalled for act, and I think the sooner we start embracing the beauty of this darkness, the better for us. Because if I wake up in the morning, I don't have to mind that, you know, I need to smear this area properly, or else it will look different from the other tomorrow. I'll just jump in my shower, you know, use whatever soap, use whatever lotion, and jump out of it. But then why put yourself through the process of, you know, I have to pay attention
to my bag or to my... I can ask someone to wrap it for me?
I just think it's too much work.
Okay.
All right, Nadia?
And also just talking about the economy. Things are very bad.
Okay, so you don't have to spend the money on cosmetics.
Some people do not even have money to do this. Even myself, at times, things every day the prices keep changing.
Yeah, these ladies are very strategic.
Thank you, ladies, so much. And I must say, for our listeners who don't know Aluele and Nadia, later you can visit us on our Miraya Twitter handle or Miraya Facebook page, and you will see their skin tone, very dark and beautiful South Sudanese ladies. Thank you, ladies, for coming to Miraya Breakfast.
Thank
we do appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.